Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Lisa Keller. Harlow Robinson, the Executive Director of Healthy Futures, joins me this week for our annual rundown of the year's inductees into the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame. The induction ceremony will be held at the museum on April 27th and will honor Reggie Tung, Jessica Moore, and Joe Floyd in the People category, March Madness Alaska in the Event category, and Keegan Randall's Gold Medal Performance in the Moment category. Harlow will also tell us about the finalists and winners of the Director's Awards, including the Pride of Alaska Award for Consistent Excellence in Athletic Competition, the Joe Floyd Award for Significant and Lasting Contribution to Alaska Through Sports, and the Trajan Langdon Award for Leadership, Sportsmanship, and Inspiration. We'll wrap up with the Healthy Futures Program 100 Miles in May, an annual fundraiser that encourages Alaskans to get out and move during the month of May. Thanks for joining me today, Harlow.
Well, it's good to be here, Lisa.
Well, we're kind of doing our annual check-in on the Sports Hall of Fame because that's coming up pretty quickly, the induction ceremony, end of April, right?
That's right, April 27th here in Anchorage at the Anchorage Museum in the atrium. And yes, it's coming right up.
If you could just refresh everybody's memory about what the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame is, when it started and why it started and what it's meant to promote.
Sure. Yeah. So when it started, we organized as a nonprofit in 2006, I believe. And the why to it is, myself and then some of the other co-founders. We're all people that grew up in Alaska and really proud of our heritage, love Alaska, and also were people that were involved in sports growing up and had, you know, sports memories and individuals that we were big fans of, and just saw how that was kind of interwoven into our culture here in Alaska and just also saw the value in organizing something that promoted everything that's positive about sports and in particular Alaskan sports, because it's so diverse and, unlike any other state, we just have a really unique sports culture here. And so that was really the impetus. And here we are, I guess, 17 years later now. And this annual ceremony it's certainly a tradition now, and it's really grown to be, we'll talk about it in the show today, but we've added these annual awards now to kind of bookend the inductions, to look at contemporary, people that are doing things here and now currently, doing our athlete of the year type awards. So that's kind of the timeline and how we got to where we are today.
And then you have you're sitting in an office right now, and that's not where everybody is like kind of recognized for being inducted or for the Director's Awards, but there's a permanent installation at the airport.
Yeah, we've had a great partnership with the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport for a long time now, but most of the in-state flights that curving hallway has been right. the home for our enshrinement portraits for well over a decade now. And it's a really great spot because so many people that are traveling around Alaska and rural Alaska in particular, but walk through that regularly. And every time I'm in there, I see people walking along and they'll see a portrait, somebody that resonates for them, and they'll take a minute to read it, and really at the end of the day that's what we want to see.
And that hall is like slightly out of the way of the parking garage, because you go to the parking garage, you can go straight out of the parking garage and go right up the escalators and to get to the Alaska Airlines check-in if you're coming from the parking garage. So you have to kind of take a little left there, and I really encourage people to go down there. It's really, really cool and very inspiring. So how do the nominations work? Let's start with, there's individual inductees, event inductee, and a moment inductee. So there are people who are already nominated, But then people vote. So how does that all work?
So we have a selection panel that is separate from our governing board. So we try to separate any kind of, the people that are, our board of directors and our staff, et cetera, have no say in who gets inducted. That's a panel of experts and people from the sports world from across the state. They're administrators, coaches, journalists, et cetera. So it's a really knowledgeable body of people. They meet every year in the fall, once a year, and they sit down. There's nine of them, and they complete their own ballots, voting on who they feel should be inducted in the people category, the moments category, and the event category. And then there's also one more ballot that is the public ballot. So the public can go on our website in the fall and complete their own votes. And then that's aggregated into one kind of summarized or accumulative ballot. So representing the public. And then we also have an 11th ballot now, and that's among all living inductees into the hall, just to kind of give them a little bit of ownership and engagement in the club that they're a part of. So it's a pretty cool process. It's as close to scientific as we can make it. Obviously, it's a really difficult job to compare the apples and oranges of Alaska sports. You're looking at mountaineers and basketball players and winter sports and Alaska Native games and on and on. So, it's a really difficult job. And the one thing that helps with that, comparing all these different sports and generations and geographical regions of Alaska is that we ask all the people that are deciding these things to use pride and positive distinction as a kind of a measuring stick for the inductees. So, we really focus on how much pride did this person or moment or event bring to Alaskans and the state of Alaska at large.
Okay, so let's get into the individual inductees this year. And what I kind of noticed right off the bat is I don't think you would really say any three of these people are kind of traditional Alaskan sports. They're, because usually you see a skier or musher or snow machiner in here, but these three are all a little bit different. So it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, you're right. No, it's a good point, Lisa. I always try to draw a theme or try to connect the dots between all the inductees of a class, and people always ask, well, what's the character of this class? And sometimes you look at it and you go, well, I don't know. it's interesting. We can talk about the three inductees, but they all have this interesting personal connection between the three of them. And that's what I love about Alaska. It's a big state and a small town at the same time. So it was just kind of coincidental, but it was cool that that these three got inducted at the same time. And I can, as we go, explain the reason for that.
Yeah. Who do you want to start with?
Well, I guess we maybe should start with Joe Floyd, because he is certainly the elder statesman of this group. And as a matter of fact, former member of the very first, the inaugural selection panel, he was one of the members. And interestingly, Joe Floyd is, I think architect is one word I've heard to use to describe him in the past. He's from Kodiak, Alaska. For over 60 years, he was an integral member of the community there. He wore a million hats, was involved in building a whole community around sports in Kodiak. He was an administrator, a coach, an official, a teacher, and really just saw the value in sports. He was primarily involved in high school sports, from baseball to basketball to wrestling, et cetera. And it's such a legacy. Now there's the Joe Floyd tournament. As a matter of fact, one of the awards that we present every year is the Joe Floyd Award. And that's given to somebody that makes a meaningful and lasting contribution to their community through sports. And so Joe Floyd, that maybe describes him in a nutshell. There are a lot of people like this, maybe not exactly like Joe Floyd, but every community that's had a real kind of successful culture built around sports has a person like a Joe Floyd that just does all that selfless grinding behind the scenes and isn't really looking for recognition usually, but they just know that there's so much value in it. And so he's the first of this kind really to be inducted into the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame. It's unfortunate that he passed away a couple of years ago. Would have been nice to have been able to do this while he was still alive. But I'm glad that we are recognizing a person that's just kind of more of an administrator and a coach. We have inducted a coach or two, but he's really the first of this type. So mm-hmm. Joe Floyd, his family is, he has a big family and following in Kodiak, and we're expecting a lot of people from the Rock here at the ceremony.
Awesome. Okay. Now we have the next two were names that should be familiar as high school athletes when they were high school athletes here in Alaska.
Yeah, Reggie Tung and Jessica Moore. And really they're similar in that they were highly successful high school athletes, highly decorated, that went on to perform on the biggest stages collegiately and then professionally, and just have really amazing professional sports careers, and resumes are both outstanding. And with both of them, I just kind of looked at it as it's just a matter of time before they're inducted. Jessica Moore, I guess we could start with her. She is the first woman that from Alaska that played in the WNBA to be inducted into the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame. She's from Palmer. She was a Alaska High School Athlete of the Year at Colony High School. She was a big, big volleyball and basketball star there, won state championships, went on to play basketball at UConn, which is, of course, University of Connecticut, which is just the dynasty of all dynasties for women's college basketball. And while she was there, they won 3 national championships, and she was the starting center. And I believe they went on a run of something like 78 games in a row that ended with her graduating as a senior. So it's amazing, amazingly decorated collegiate career. And then she went on to a long, successful professional career, both in the WNBA and overseas in Europe, and made it to the WNBA finals with the Los Angeles Sparks, and then I believe the Indiana team, which I'm not remembering the last name of. Somebody in the listening will probably catch me on that one. I think it's the Fever. So
yeah, so that's just like Moore. I don't know that either, so I can't help you out there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I feel like I should know that. I'll look it up while we're talking.
Does she no longer lives in Alaska? Correct?
That's correct. Jessica Moore lives in Portland, Oregon. She works for Nike. Oh, and great. She just had her second child.
Oh,
just last month. So we're hoping that she makes it up here for that. It's certainly understandable if she can't. So she's got a lot of, she's in the next chapter of her life and got a lot of exciting things going on.
Cool. Okay. Tell us about Reggie Tung.
So Reggie Tung was a, he's from Fairbanks and he played football for Lathrop High School. And Doyle Woody, who is a longtime Alaskan sports journalist, he talks about watching Reggie play football back in high school. And he was such a force on both sides of the ball, both as a running back and as a defender, that he said, you know, when they would come and play some of these Anchorage schools, some of the players would all of a sudden decide that their injury was acting up and figure out a way to avoid taking a hit from Reggie, just because he was such an athletic force of nature on the football field. And by all accounts, from I've had a chance to talk with his old coach and athletic director up in Fairbanks, and just the nicest, classiest guy off the field. And you always love to hear that. These inductions, it makes you feel good about, you know, inducting somebody when you hear that they're a great person as well. And then so Reggie went on to have a great career at Oregon State, still owns some records there as a defensive back, and then had a 10-year career in the NFL. Much of that, Alaskans might remember, with his, much of his career is with the Seattle Seahawks. And as a matter of fact, he was named to the 2000 to 2009, to that, the aughts all decade team for the Seattle Seahawks. So, so really successful in NFL career. He was known for his ball hawking skills, and he returned. He had a number of interceptions and like over 20, which is a really he's far more than a journeyman player. He was a decorated NFL player, and he returned many of those for touchdowns. So, and Reggie will be up here for the ceremony, so I really look forward to meeting. And that personal connection I was going to tell you about, and I just found this out through talking with the. One of the fun things we do is call the inductees and let them know, and their families, and let them know they've been inducted. And then they want to know who else is in the class. And as it turns out, when the Moore family, Jessica Moore's family, moved to Alaska, they were friends of the Tung family in Fairbanks, Alaska. So the two families are actually fairly close. And I think there was some babysitting that happened. And
wow, that's so cool.
Then when I spoke with the Floyd family, I found out that Joe Floyd's son, who is very involved in kind of speaking on behalf and representing his father, Joe, his son, Patrick Floyd, his ex-wife was Jessica Moore's high school volleyball coach at Colony High. And so I'm so excited for Jessica. She's such a great woman, and I've known her since she was a little girl. And so, yeah, it's like,
oh,
I said, Alaska.
So Alaska, yeah. It
really is, yeah.
We are all connected for sure.
we're talking about Fairbanks, the Valley, and Kodiak. So they're not exactly, you know, interlinked communities.
Yeah, it spans a big part of the state. So kind of in that vein, because I'm assuming that Reggie Tung was probably played a little basketball too, probably multi-sport athlete. Was he a multi-sport athlete?
He was, and I know he was a big track star, big time track star.
I remember his name from track, yeah. So kind of in that vein, then let's talk about the event inductee, because it kind of goes in with all three of these individual inductees. And that's the March Madness Alaska State High School Basketball Championships.
Right. And this is, I felt like it was a matter of time before this was inducted. So we every year we recognize one event, and March Madness Alaska, that's the title now, and that it's been known as that for 20 years now. But as everyone knows, basketball is such a popular sport in Alaska, from rural to urban, and the state basketball tournament really goes all the way back to the 20s. Petersburg played against Fairbanks in the first ever, but then really starting in about the 40s, it kind of picked up steam, and then in the 60s, when there were people like John Brown and Ketchikan and some other really great talents in the Southeast, and they would come to Anchorage, and it was the show in town, and it would attract thousands and thousands of spectators. And so really going back to about then, it became this thing that was about more than basketball. Is about like communities coming together and gathering and catching up with relatives and catching a little basketball while they were here. And now March Madness, I've heard it said that March Madness becomes the second largest city in Alaska.
Oh, wow.
That now it's 2-week period in March, when starting with the 1A and 2A tournament, and then the 3A and 4A, especially with the 1A and 2A, the small communities in rural Alaska, it's really a chance to tie in your Anchorage trip and visit friends and see people from other communities at the same time while you're going and watching some high school basketball. So it's about community, and it's also about basketball and the contrasting styles of basketball that you see from, you know, I mentioned Petersburg. You might see a bunch of real strong, tall Norwegian looking kids down there. And if they were to play Barrow, you would see a whole different style in Barrow and everywhere in between. So March Madness Alaska and the state basketball tournament, it's a celebration of basketball and what that means to our state, but it's also a celebration of recognizing what a community event it is, and a celebration of kind of people coming together from different parts of Alaska and catching up with each other.
I have to say that my favorite part of it is seeing the smaller schools come in and play. And I love the media coverage during that time by Alaska Public Media and Anchorage Daily News. And you'll see these great pictures, it's just more of like the like all the players are like, you know, their faces are so expressive that they're in the big show. And then you see shots of the crowd, and you can just see it's this huge community out there supporting their teams. And it just, that's to me like more exciting than watching the big schools, really.
I agree with you, Lisa. I went with my son, who's a high school basketball player now, and we went and watched Point Hope or Tikigak play Nanilchik for the boys 2A championship. And I watch a lot of the 3A and the 4A basketball as well. The energy in that at the Alaska Airlines Center for that game was like unlike anything I've seen for a big, and I've seen some really big exciting games with the big schools for sure, but you're right. The energy in that building for the small school championship, it was completely sold out. And, you know, when they did the player intros and they run onto the court, you could tell that it was the biggest moment of their lives. I mean, the players were running out and, you know, pumping their fists and getting the crowd all amped up. And, you know, when you see the larger schools, there's a little bit of an air of like, act like I've been here before.
And, right. And, like I deserve to be here.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to act too, you know, too excited. You got, you know,
yeah,
there's a little factor that comes into play. So,
oh, I've never gone in person. I'm going to have to go watch the small schools.
Well,
next year.
You definitely need to. It is anybody, whether you're a basketball fan or not, I guarantee you, you will have go watch a 1A or a 2A state championship game, and you won't regret it. It's really a cultural experience.
That's so cool. Okay, so kind of the outlier here from the theme that's been going on is the moment inductee, but it didn't take long for this to happen, and I'm not surprised, obviously. So that's Keegan Randall's gold medal.
That's right, yes. So we induct a moment every year, sometimes two, depending on the circumstances, but this is one of my favorite things we do with the Hall of Fame, because these moments, and the difference between an event and a moment is an event is a regularly scheduled, organized, planned thing that happens that we can plan on every year. A moment is are really the stories that happen oftentimes unexpectedly, and they're really the stories that create our history here, our sports history in Alaska. And so when the moments are selected, one of the criteria is that they have to have happened at least 5 years ago. And it just so happens with Keegan Randall, her gold medal in the 2018 Olympics, it happened 5 months ago or 5 years ago in 1 month. So
it's hard to believe it's been that long. It feels like it was yesterday.
It is hard to believe. It does seem like yesterday. You know, with the panel, there was a short debate on whether something should kind of resonate and marinate a little bit once it hits that 5 years. And then pretty quickly on the panel decided, you know, there are some baseball players, for example, that they're called first ballot inductees, just kind of like it's sort of like an extra little mark by their resume. And they felt like this was a first ballot inductee, should be a ballot inductee. Like there's no need to wait. It just felt obvious. And I totally agree. When Keegan Randall won the gold medal in 2018, that ranks right up there with, you know, I think about Tommy Moe and when he won the gold medal in Lillehammer in 1994. It was electrifying. It was one of those moments in Alaskans' lives where people remember where they were and remember hearing about it, and then had the hair stand up on the back of their necks when they watched the video. And of course, nowadays in the internet era, we get to see it over and over. And you know, that, you know, for a while, Keegan Randall and Jessica Diggins, her teammate, you know, that moment of Jessica for those that maybe aren't big Nordic ski fans and somehow missed the, you know, don't know what I'm talking about. So it was a sprint relays, and Keegan Randall and Jessica Diggins had six laps. So Keegan went first, Jessica went second, and they each did three laps on this, you know, short sprint course. And then when Jessica Diggins, when Keegan Randall, she had an amazing final leg, and really everyone knew this was the last race of her Olympic career, and just the most decorated American woman skier ever, let alone Alaskan skier. The only thing that had avoided her was Olympic success at the level that she'd hoped. And Keegan had an amazing day, and her last leg put them right in contention. But then, as most people remember, she tagged off to Jessica, and she passed the Swedish and the Norwegian skier on the final hill or coming into the straightaway, and the commentators said something like, "Here comes Diggins." And yeah, it's just so dramatic.
You are listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Lisa Keller. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll hear more from Harlow Robinson about the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame 2023 honorees.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes Store or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
You are listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Lisa Keller. My conversation with Harlow Robinson, Executive Director of the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame, continues. And Keegan was, they also wasn't, if I'm remembering that this long time ago, 5 years ago, they weren't really sure they were going to put Keegan in the relay too, right? Like they knew they needed to because of what she meant to Nordic skiing, but there was also, wasn't there somebody else who was in contention to be in that relay with Jesse?
Yeah, it might've been a little bit of a surprise that they selected Keegan. And Keegan will tell you, she wasn't necessarily skiing her best of her career at that point. And she, there were some other skiers. They probably, the coaches had the luxury of choosing who was going to ski in this event right at the last minute. And Diggins was a lock, Jessica Diggins, but the second skier could have gone to some other women. And I think they looked at her experience, and this was her fifth Olympics. And, and they felt, and she's certainly no slouch. Keegan, even at this point in her career, was skiing really well. And obviously the coaches made a great decision to go with her, and we're all glad they did. And she brought home the gold. And it was, I didn't mention how close the finish was. It was by less than a ski length. They actually had to wait. And there's the scene of Keegan and Jessica on the snow and in a little dog pile. And Keegan talks about it later, how everyone asked, what were they talking about? And Jessica was asking, did we win? And Keegan was looking at the scoreboard, and then finally that showed that they did. And she said, "We got the gold," like that. So really great moment, American sports history, let alone Alaskan. So we are going to relive that at the ceremony. And I know there's some old video footage that we'll be able to share with the audience with Keegan there. It'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be great. Okay. So, as always, we can talk and talk and talk about this. And so now we have just about 20 minutes maybe left for the director's awards, and then to talk about 100 miles in May as well. Let's go into the director's awards. First of all, explain what the director's awards are.
So the director's awards our decision to kind of bookend, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the inductees with something contemporary. So our board of directors every year votes on these, and really the Pride of Alaska Award is our Athlete of the Year. And then the two other awards we give out are the Trajan Langdon Award, and that's after the famous basketball player from Anchorage, named after his namesake. Known for his kind of quality of character and integrity. So that award looks at sportsmanship, inspiration, and character. And then I mentioned the Joe Floyd Award for community contribution. Mm-hmm. So those are the three awards given out.
So let's start with the Pride of Alaska. And the Pride of Alaska and the Trajan Langdon both have adult awards and youth awards, right?
Correct.
And so then the Pride of Alaska youth and the Pride of Alaska adults also have a male winner and a female winner. So,
right. So there are four. So, yeah. There's a full male, high school female, and adult male, adult female.
Correct. Okay. So let's start with Pride of Alaska, which is essentially, Athlete of the Year, as you said, kind of recognizing what's been happening in the past year. Let's start with the youth awards. And let's start with the boys. There's three nominees. So let's hit the nominees and then talk about the winner just a little bit more.
Sure. Yeah. I'll quickly break this down. So we start with a list. You know, we get candidates and we vote on the, we narrow that big list down to three finalists. And then from that, like you said, we have a winner. But so for the boys, the three finalists were Finnegan Donnelly, the downhill skier, Jack Nash, who's a football player, Colony High School, quarterback and defensive back, and then PJ Foy, a swimmer from Thunder Mountain. And Finnegan Donnelly is our winner. He'll be at the ceremony. And again, you know, I talk about apples and oranges. This is a lot of apples and oranges in a selection like this. All three of them very worthy and deserving in their own right within their own sports. And, you know, we're starting to see some pretty amazing swimming talent. There was this Olympic, I can't remember her name.
Her name was here somewhere, but maybe not. Maybe last year. It was last year.
Yeah, she was actually, we'll mention her in a second here, but Finnegan Donnelly, you know, people that are in the downhill, the alpine ski community, remember him as a prodigious talent at Alyeska, part of the Alyeska ski club. Just phenomenal talent. During his childhood, he moved to Sun Valley about a year and a half ago to just kind of be around more competition and better competition. And he's just been destroying the field. He cleaned up at the Junior Nationals, just phenomenal performance. So he was named the U.S. National Junior Champion. So that's for U18. That was earlier this winter. And before that, he went over to Europe and skied in the World Juniors, which goes all the way up to 20-year-olds. And he comported himself. I'm trying to remember the details, but he was the top world junior. So I'm sorry, top U18 world junior over there.
That's so pretty big.
And then most recently he skied with all the grown men and at the U.S. Nationals, and he had a fifth place finish there.
Wow.
And was named United States Rookie of the Year. So just, you know, his, I think what really leaned the decision-making towards Finnegan was the fact that he performed so well on the international stage. Mm-hmm. It's really impressive. Probably not the last we've heard from Finnegan Donnelly.
Yeah, I would think not. Okay, let's talk about the girls for Pride of Alaska.
Yeah, so the girls, we have three finalists. Trinity Donovan is a wrestler from Soldotna, four-time state champion. She ended her career with over 70 straight wins on the wrestling mat. And by all accounts, a great role model for young girls. She works with the middle school girls and encouraged them to wrestle as a sport. Olivia Mamey is an East High School. So I don't know if you're familiar, Lisa, you're a Thunderbird alumni, right?
Yes, I am. I think I just saw her name in the paper recently, like very recently.
Yeah, she's making a lot of headlines very recently for her track success. She's setting state records. She's just an incredible sprinter and hurdler. And by the way, decided to pick up flag football last year, and she played quarterback, and they just like snapped the ball to her, and she would take off running and no one could catch her. So just an amazing running talent. And then the third is Savia Sellers. And Savia was actually the runner-up to Lydia Jacoby last year, which was a tough task to go up against Lydia. And this year, Savia was our winner. She's the Gatorade, the defending or two-time Gatorade Basketball Player of the Year. She did not lose a game in her four-year high school career at Anchorage Christian School. and set the all-time state scoring record for women. And she'll be playing basketball next fall at University of Washington.
Awesome. Okay, so let's stay with Pride of Alaska and let's talk about the adults.
So we'll go with the men here first. We have the three finalists are Keegan Messing, the figure skater from Girdwood. He went out on top, 20-year career. He's 31 now, so they start really young. So 31 is a pretty seasoned age for figure skating competition. And so he had a tremendous year. Santiago Prosser, also known as Sonny Prosser, former diamond runner, has really blossomed. He was a great high school runner, but he's taken it to a whole nother level. And really at this point, he's one of the best cross-country runners to ever come out of Alaska and won a national championship with the powerhouse Northern Arizona team. He was the third runner on their team and 19th overall at the Division I national championship. So really, really amazing performance by Santiago Prosser. And our third and the winner of the men's category is Jeremy Swayman, who hockey fans will know immediately who he is. He's goalie for the Boston Bruins, who have the best record in the NHL. And as of the time the award was presented, or at the time that he was named the winner, he had a 19-6 record as a goalie for the, or 19-6-6. And with a 2.19 goals against average, which is right at the top, like top three or four in the NHL. Just sparkling performance from Alaska's own Jeremy Swayman. And then on the women's side, I mentioned Savia Sellers breaking the all-time women's scoring record. Well, the woman that she broke, took the record from, she actually won the women's Pride of Alaska Award, Alyssa.
Oh, okay.
And Alyssa Peely she transferred from USC to University of Utah this year and just completely blew up, just had an amazing season. She was one of the finalists for the John Wooden Award, which is given to the top basketball player in the country. The other two finalists for the award were Lydia Jacoby, as I mentioned earlier. She won an Olympic gold medal last year, and it's kind of hard to top that, but she did her best. She had a tremendous year as a freshman at University of Texas. She won a national championship, and she, by the way, also broke an age group record for 17 and 18-year-olds just days before she turned 19. So I think we can keep an eye on her for, I don't think she's anywhere close to being done as well. And then our third finalist is Eve Stevens, the UAA volleyball player who, you know, highly successful program, the Seawolves volleyball. And she was named the national Division II national player of the year, Eve Stevens from Colony High School. So there you go.
There we go. Okay, let's move on to the Trajan Langdon Awards. So we'll start with the youth. And this is really not necessarily so much about performance, but about sportsmanship and caring about other people, things like that, right?
That's correct, yeah. And I know we probably have limited time, so I'll just quickly mention Emily Wilson, the 15-year-old junior Iditarod champion who was also spoke really compellingly about the importance of staying engaged, young people doing sports like dog mushing. And she's a very wise beyond her years dog musher. She was one of our finalists. And then the Kenai High School basketball team and Zach Armstrong were another finalist. Zach Armstrong was a member of the team that was diagnosed with leukemia. And the team rallied around him all year and raised money for him and raised awareness. it's a really powerful story. Mm-hmm. So both of them would have been great candidates, or they were great candidates. They would have been great winners. But the winners, there's two of them, were Guillermo Daggett and Colton Mariner, and their teammates on the Grace High School cross country team. At the state championships, Colton Mariner stumbled about 50 feet from the finish line. He stumbled because his legs completely gave out on him. It was a very close race between Grace and Sitka, so every place mattered. And Colton was one of the, you know, he was they were around 15th place in the race right there. And his teammate Guillermo was right in front of him and could see this all happening. And so Guillermo at that point, all he wanted was for Colton to get across the finish line. So he encouraged him. And when Colton was trying to crawl, and then he just collapsed again. So Guillermo, instead of finishing the race, went back, picked up his teammate, and just kind of pulled him across the finish line to the medic. And unfortunately, race rules dictate that if a runner receives aid, they're disqualified. So Colton was disqualified. The race officials kind of converged and discussed and made the right decision, I think, and did not disqualify Guillermo for his efforts. And Grace did go on to win by just a point or two. Mm. But honestly, and I thought both of these young men really were mature and beyond their years. And when they talked about it afterwards, neither of them were thinking about the race results. They were just, it was all about team and their care and compassion for each other. And Colton later, who's a sophomore, and Guillermo is a senior, said Guillermo showed him what an older teammate should exemplifies what an older teammate should be and what he strives to be someday. So we really look forward to, I got a chance to meet both of these young men since they were named, and I was so happy to see they're really classy, good guys. And Guillermo says that he wants to be a fireman. He's always liked to help other people. So mm-hmm. maybe it's not a surprise that
yeah.
the way that he did. That's the youth award there.
Okay, the Trajan Langdon Award for the adults.
Okay, so the finalists, Christy Marvin and Robin Beebe, the duo are one of the finalists. They just back in March completed the ITI, Iditarod Trail Invitational. And while all the other competitors were staying in cabins, shelters, lodges, they elected to sleep out along the trail as they went, and which ended up being extremely risky, just because the weather was anywhere between 20 and 40 below. And so what entailed was a lot of really intense moments where one had to help the other just to get them through the race and encourage and keep warm. They were right on the edge of hypothermia at some points. And yeah. So it's really a story about teammates, much like the Grace teammates, supporting each other through the race. Hunter Heath, again, another story of camaraderie and teamwork and assisting a troubled competitor. He was a rookie Iditarod musher. He won the sportsmanship award in this year's Iditarod. Eddie Burke, another fellow rookie, had lost his team, that he'd fallen off the sled. And Hunter Keefe went out of his way to help Eddie Burke to give him a ride and get him to the next checkpoint, and sacrificed a little bit of his own race to do so, but without really thinking about it, or not without thinking twice about it. And our winner is Vanessa Anate, and she is a runner from Chugiak High School, formerly ran at UAA, And then became pregnant and got married, became pregnant, had a baby. So it's a story about a woman, a decorated athlete, navigating a world of being a mother and also figuring out a way to continue her athletic career, which had been derailed and at one point thought that it was over. So she resurrected her career after a 2-year break and ran this year at Seattle Pacific University and was an All-American runner and had a tremendously successful year. So again, all three of these great stories. It's really nice to be able to recognize Vanessa, who by all accounts is an amazing woman. And it's just it's a story we don't talk about enough. The challenges that women and mothers have to go through to be a competitive athlete while being, having a baby and raising a child. So,
and it's definitely an issue right now for professional runners. In Lauren Fleshen's book, Good for a Girl, she talks about that and how pregnancy and having children gets written into your contract, like your contract is over if you get pregnant, and there's very little support of pregnant athletes. But if you have the drive to continue to want to do that after you have children, you should have the opportunity to continue to compete and prove yourself. So that's really, I read a longer story about Vanessa, and it's very inspiring if you want to continue to do the sport you love at a high level.
Absolutely. And kudos to her husband, Brandon. And I'm sure there was a lot of support, the Seattle Pacific University track team and everyone that, for something like that to work out, there has to be a lot of people behind her as well. So
yep.
Hats off to all of them.
Okay. So the Joe Floyd Award. Yeah. Let's hit that.
Yeah. The Joe Floyd Award. This one, I feel like every year there's so many worthy candidates and it's really hard to choose one. But there were three finalists, two of them from Fairbanks. One of them is Dr. Charles Scott, who has a dojo in Fairbanks, martial arts teacher. And really for since the 70s has been mentoring youth and adults, but just the recommendations we got, just an amazing guy who has mentored over 500 young people through martial arts and just made an incredibly positive impact on the Fairbanks community. And then another Fairbanks guy, Rob Prophet, who has been instrumental in the success of not only the Fairbanks Ice Dogs youth hockey program, but youth hockey as a whole. I think through his success, he helped the Anchorage Wolverines and the Kenai River Brown Bear programs get going as well as a hockey coach and administrator. And the winner is Kathleen Navarre, who is kind of an omnipresent force for good in the world of high school sports. And she might have that trick that Hermione Granger from Harry Potter has of being able to be in multiple places at once, because I swear every high school event I go to in the greater Anchorage area, there she is. Mm-hmm. And she's, she's an official, she's coaching, she's administering in some way. And she's the most connected person I know. And she's so supportive. And one of the things she told me recently is that it's nice not to be working for Diamond High with the track season, not because she doesn't care deeply about Diamond and the Lynx program, but because now she feels free to just cheer for all the kids. Mm-hmm. and not have to watch herself about that. So it's great. I'm really excited to be able to honor Kathleen Navarre with the Joe Floyd Award this year.
I actually interviewed Kathleen back in the fall, and that interview hasn't aired yet. So I think I'm going to revisit her now that she won this award, and then we'll get that interview and air it sometime early in the summer, probably. So we'll hear more from Kathleen, because she is quite an amazing person.
She really is. And it's pretty neat that she's getting the Joe Floyd Award, because she spent a long time in Kodiak as an administrator. Mm-hmm. There. So another one of those Alaska connections, but I'm sure the Kodiak community will be happy to see her and see her getting this award.
Yep. So quickly in a minute or two, let's talk about 100 miles in May. That's starting on May 1st.
Yeah, you know, right. We could talk probably a whole show about 100 miles in May, but Healthy Futures is our big program. It's 90% of what we do here. And it's all about getting kids moving and keeping them moving and building a lifetime healthy habits. So 100 miles in May is a way for once a year for the adults to just kind of get out and model for the kids why it's important to be physically active. And it's also a lot of fun, and you don't have to be an athlete. You don't even have to be a runner at all. Any exercise that you do, from working in your garden to playing with kids to housework, it all, you just enter in your time and what you did, and it'll convert to miles. And it's also a really important fundraiser for Healthy Futures, where everyone can just make a pledge that fits their budget. And it's gotten to be a really big, you know, we had 40 people from 47 different states doing it last year. So
wow.
Even beyond Alaska, people jump in. We don't ask them to make a big pledge. We're just happy to have them on board. And you know, within Alaska, we're seeing people from across different industries have really fun competitions. And I think last year we exceeded 5,000 participants. So
wow, that's great.
It's, I call it a movement. It's a movement.
I really 100%. Like it. As I was telling you earlier, I really like it because in May, my house is the cleanest it ever is, because I rack up all those house cleaning miles.
It's the timing of it is great, just because it's a time of year where everyone's just kind of excited to get outside. And, you know, it's a good way to get in shape for summer and just mm-hmm. like, you know, new beginnings. Of course, with all the snow we've gotten lately, it's kind of hard to imagine, but summer is around the corner.
Well, in May, maybe there could be some shoveling miles, right? Like, you got to get out there and shovel or break up your snow drifts.
That's right. We need to make sure we have some winter related activities all entered in there, because
I think so.
We are running a little late for some of us here in Alaska.
Might be fat biking for a while. Well, Harlow, as always, it's so fun checking in with you each year and chatting, and we could chat forever, but we do have to end this. So thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Lisa. It's always fun to do this once a year and check in on some of the great Alaskan athletes.
That's it for today's show. Thanks to my guest, Harlow Robinson. You can find pictures and links to the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame and the Healthy Futures 100 Miles in May on the Outdoor Explorer page on alaskapublic.org. The show was produced by Eric Bork. My name is Lisa Keller, and from all our hosts here at Outdoor Explorer, thanks for listening, and we'll see you outside.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and in your favorite podcast app. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.